Good evening, brothers and sisters. It is good to be here tonight. It's a beautiful evening and a beautiful day. As I prepared for this evening, my mind went a number of directions, but we had a beautiful day today, but I don't know if any of you remember what the weather was like on September 1st, which would be tomorrow, of last year. Remember what it was that day? It poured down rain, torrential rains. And many of us remember that because that's the day God called John Risser home. John hydroplaned with his truck, or it seemed like he lost control of his truck in some way, and down across the bank, and that was the end of his life here on earth. Turn to Amos chapter 4 for a message tonight. We're here tonight to give our testimony, as we call it, what our relationship with God is like. And as I ask myself this question this week and today, what is my relationship with God like? Am I clear before God? If it was me who was going down the interstate and my truck went off the side of the road and flopped over and crashed and burned, and I lost my life, what would be my testimony? And I hope we ask ourselves this question more than just at communion time. But this is a time, like Ernest mentioned, we look into our life and we evaluate our relationship with our Creator. If you're in Amos chapter 4, I plan to read the entire chapter tonight. But I want to use verse 12 as a text verse. And before we read that chapter, I'm just going to read verse 1 of chapter 1 of Amos to just get a little picture of who Amos was. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So Amos was a prophet of God. He was sent to warn the people of coming judgment. And this is not just an isolated incident in the Old Testament. We know that there's books of the Bible where God sent prophets to the children of Israel to warn them to turn from their sin and to turn to Him. And that's what we're reading here in chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O you children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city, and drank water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. And when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and olive trees increased, and the palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the man of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he hath formed the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Verse 12 stood out to me as I read over this chapter. Prepare to meet thy God. I don't know what that phrase does to you when you think about meeting God, standing before a holy God. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but I just want to go across this chapter and just point out a couple things that Amos was warning the people. In verse 2, he was warning them of how they would be taken into exile. He talks about the hooks in their lips, and this actually happened when the Assyrians came to carry them away. They took them away with hooks in their lips, and they were led away. But they didn't return to God. In verse 4, Amos was pointing out how fake their and ritualistic their worship to God was. God had called them to worship in Jerusalem, but they chose to worship in Bethel and Gilgal, places that were convenient for them. Verse 5, these specific offerings that they were supposed to bring to God, without leaven, their offering was polluted before God. And it says that they liked it. They loved it. They enjoyed what they were doing. They were disobedient to God, but it didn't convict them. They enjoyed what they were doing. And then verse 6 through 11, Amos points out all that God had done to warn them, to get their attention, how he had spared them, how he had sent famine to warn them, to turn from their iniquity, but they just kept right on in their sin and their idolatry and refused to repent and turn to God. In verse 6, God sent a famine. In verse 7 and 8, God sent a drought to some areas and not to others. And instead of calling out to God in repentance, they just went to cities that had water. But it was still not enough. They were still not satisfied. God touched their crops. He destroyed their crops with mildew and with a pilmer worm or like a locust. Yet they still did not turn to God. Verse 10, God sent pestilence. It says, after the manner of Egypt, like the plagues, to try to get their attention. Yet they still kept on living on the way they always had. Verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God is pleading with them to turn to him. Then in verse 12, we have the verse, prepare to meet thy God. I want to stop and think about that this evening. Prepare to meet thy God. As you stop and consider that, how does that make you feel tonight? Meeting God. I think we have all had an appointment to meet someone and we anticipated it with at least some level of apprehension. Maybe it was someone who we didn't know, or maybe someone who was in authority over us, maybe a judge or something like that. But tonight, as we think about meeting a holy, almighty God, how does that make us feel? I think it should bring awe into our lives and possibly some apprehension. It's an unknown. We're not sure what it will be like to stand before God. But I think tonight, like Ernest mentioned, through the blood of Jesus, we can stand here confident and answer that question. I think it's proper to have that reverential fear of God. Not that we're afraid of him, but we reverence him for who he is. Because if we read verse 13, it says, for lo, he hath formed the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought. He tells man what they think. He maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I think as we stand here tonight and we think about meeting a holy God, I think it causes us to stop and stand in awe. But my prayer tonight is that as a church family, we are prepared for that day when we meet God. These words of Amos were spoken to the children of Israel, but they're a call to all of us as well. This is not an invitation that if you want to meet God, then you know, stand in this line. We are all going to meet God someday. That's a call on humanity here. Every one of us is going to meet God someday. Hebrews 9, verse 27, we know it by heart. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're going to meet God. We do not know when or what day, but we will meet God. We have a 100% mortality rate. And that's why the call is to us today to prepare for that. In Amos here, God was trying to get their attention by the things he was bringing to their lives, and they ignored those warnings. But we have those reminders today as well. These things that are in our lives that call attention to our mortality. I mentioned one was John Risser passing away. But just last month, there was three men on an airplane. Everything was normal. They flew out to, I think it was Indiana, and on the way back, they got into a thunderstorm, and the plane crashed, and that's when they were called home. That was their appointment. A few months ago, I had a customer, an acquaintance of mine, an experienced pilot, but he went up, made a mistake, crashed, and that was his appointment. My grandpa, he went to the heart doctor one day. Checked out his heart. He was 81 years old. Checked out his heart, said everything looks good. 2 days later, he had a massive heart attack and died. That was his appointment. And I have a brother-in-law that I've never met. 19 years old, killed in a truck accident. That was his appointment. What I want us to think about in these stories is there was no time to prepare. When Brother John was going down that road across that bank, there was no time to get ready to meet God. When those men were on that airplane, they were in the thunderstorm, there was no time to prepare to meet God. Their relationship with their wives, brothers and sisters in the church, those who had worked with them or for them, that stands. That story is told. It is over, and that chapter is closed. There's no time to go back and fix what has already been happened. Their relationship with God stands. These people's lives up to this point determine their eternal destiny. And the question I want us to think about tonight is, if that was my story, what would be the record? Ecclesiastes 11:3, the last part of the verse, reminds us, if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where that tree falleth, there shall it be. It's talking about life and its finality and death. So that's why it's important tonight that as we examine our lives, that we look deep into our lives and prepare for our appointment, for whenever that may be. We don't know when our life will end. It may be a slow process. Maybe we face death for days, weeks, months. Some people face it for even years with a terminal illness. Or it may be very sudden. We have no time to prepare, like the stories that I mentioned earlier. Or it may be the return of Christ, where we're gone in the blink of an eye, the Bible says. But the call tonight is to prepare to meet thy God. I want to put emphasis on thy. This meeting is on a personal level. I will be personally responsible when I stand before God. When I meet God, I will be responsible. The atheist, he'll be responsible before God. To meet the God who created everything by the word of his power, the Lord of all, the one whose rules all of us have broken. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're going to meet the one who knows everything about me, knows my heart, knows my thoughts, knows every idle word that I've said. He knows the desires of my heart, knows the sins that no one else knows about, bitterness, the anger, or whatever it may be, I'm going to meet the one who knows all about that. We can put on a good front and hide things from people, but God knows everything about us. The secret things will all be out in front when we meet God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11 says, "For we must all," that means every one of us, "appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." It's what we do or don't do here in this short time on earth that determines our eternal destiny. We're here on earth to bring glory to God. Ernest mentioned that from Ephesians 1. But as Christians and pilgrims, we're on our way to the celestial city. We have such a short time here to prepare for eternity, for what's really coming ahead. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. There's a picture here, a sobering one. But I just want to remind us again of us all meeting our Maker. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Sometimes we do things that we're ashamed of anyone else finding out about. But for those to come out at the throne of judgment will be much more terrible place for them to come out and to be revealed. We don't want people to know about the things that we've done, but standing before a holy God and our sins being brought out with no opportunity to confess them be a much, much worse place to be. Like 1 Timothy 5 verse 24 says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some they follow after." Today we have the opportunity to have our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. And that when we come to our appointment with God, we can look forward to that with anticipation and with joy and say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I hope that's each of our testimony tonight. But tonight, how do we know that we're prepared to meet God? How can we know that we are prepared to meet God? Satan would like to accuse us and to take away our peace, and to make us feel like we're not good enough to somehow stand before a holy God. And on our own strength, it's true, we're not. But we can face our Maker with confidence. Turn to 1 John, and I want to just pull a number of verses out of 1 John that we can know that we are ready to meet our Maker. If it's us that's killed in a car accident or a plane accident or whatever it may be, we can know our standing with our Maker. 1 John, starting in chapter 1, read verse 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So tonight, when we ask ourselves the question, am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I walking in the light? This world has a lot of darkness. But tonight we can have fellowship with our Savior if we walk in the light. When I think of that word fellowship, I think of a joyful reunion. When we meet our Savior, when we meet Christ, that fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ that open relationship because of what he's done for us by walking in the light, by rejecting darkness and walking in that light. Chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. It's the second question we can ask ourselves. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not as in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. What I love about John's writing here is the confidence that he shares. Look at how many times he uses the word know. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And verse 4, I know him. And again in verse 5, hereby know we that we are in him. We can have confidence tonight that we are right with God if we keep his commandments. If we're being obedient to what his word teaches, we can be confident tonight and we're ready to meet him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We can ask ourselves the question, are we walking like Christ? Are we patterning our life to be more and more like Christ? Working on areas that we know we are weak, and we realize that we're not like Christ. Are we willing to grow in those areas? Be honest with the areas that we are weak and commit to growing in those areas. Are we walking like Christ? Is walking as he walked? Showing compassion to others. Living our lives in service to Christ's kingdom. If we're doing that, we can be confident that we're ready to meet God. Verse 15, chapter 2. Another question that we can ask ourselves. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Tonight we can ask ourselves, who do we love? What do we love? Is it the things that the world has to offer? All the bright lights, all the shiny, all the things that please the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Are those the things that we love? It says if those are the things that we love, then the love of the Father is not in us. So tonight, if we want to be prepared, we need to love the Father, not love the world. Our love cannot be divided. It must be one or the other. Another question we can ask ourselves is in chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's read through 14 through 17. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Tonight, we can know our standing with God by our love for our brother. Do we love our brothers and sisters? Truly love them? Willing to lay down our lives for our brother or our sister? It says here that if we don't have that kind of love, then God's love doesn't abide in us. If we're not willing to extend ourselves and give ourselves for our brother in compassion, then God's love does not dwell in us. Another question we can ask ourselves is, are we living in victory? chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Are we overcomers tonight? Are we living in victory? Yes, we have things that we struggle with. We have areas that we need to grow, areas that we fail. But can we give a testimony of victory, of overcoming the world and the things that our flesh wants to do? I think tonight as we consider preparing to meet God, these verses from 1 John can give us that assurance that we can be right with God. We can know tonight that we're prepared to meet God. And also we should be afraid if we're not prepared to meet God, if we haven't sent our sins ahead, if we've not confessed our sin, then we should be afraid to meet God. I want to read verse 13 yet here of John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John said he wrote these things so that we can have confidence, that we can stand up tonight and say, I have peace with God, and I have peace with my brothers. John said that's why, one of the reasons he wrote this, is so that we can have that peace and that assurance that we are ready to meet if God calls us home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, tonight we thank you for the opportunity to again be together. Lord, I just pray that you help us to live in victory, to be overcomers. Lord, I pray that you just forgive us where we have been weak and we have failed. You know that we're human. Your Son Jesus walked in flesh like we have and knows the areas where we're tempted. We thank you that he can be our Savior, he can be our mediator, and that we can look to him for grace and strength. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here tonight who is not ready to meet you, that they would allow that your Spirit would speak to them and draw them to yourself. Lord, I just pray that if we've made our things right with you and that we are walking with you, I pray that you just give us the confidence that we are ready to meet you if you would call us. We ask this all tonight in Jesus' name.